Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good morning, my friends. The sun is coming through the window, but I'm told it's not so warm outside like it was here in Philadelphia earlier this week. I am so excited about today's show. It's a guest we've had on before, and I had so many other questions I wanted to ask her that she was so gracious to accept the request to come back on again, and I appreciate that. But for those who are tuning in for the first time, I want to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf for this Saturday, February the 19th, and thank you again for being here with us. You are an absolute joy. I am your host, Denise Turney, coming to you live from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And again, I thank you for your support, and I encourage you not to let another day pass before you pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. Long Walk Up is a very inspirational book about a young girl and her marvelous, marvelous destiny and the challenges she has to go through to get there. You can pick up a copy of Long Walk Up today by visiting www.chistell.com. Again, that's chistell.com. You can also pick up a copy of my book, Long Walk Up, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Walmart, etc. If you don't see it on bookstore shelves, just ask the clerk for it, and they can order it for you because it's carried by the largest book distributors in the world. And now we're going to meet our very special guest. I know we have so many loyal and faithful listeners here at Off the Shelf over the years that we've been on the air. Several of you heard the first interview, and for some of you, this is your first time meeting this guest. So I want to introduce you to her, and so you can sit back and we can enjoy today's show and what she has to share. She is simply wonderful. Our special guest today is a book author. She's a health practitioner and a spiritual counselor. She is a wonderful, wonderful spirit. And she is an entrepreneur. She has written several books, including Emancipating Your Spirit, which is one I've seen more around on the internet, Hair Pieces and We Surrender. She is the one and only Mama Akusa, and she is also a radio talk show host and an organizer and supporter of the Kumba Festival, and we're delighted to have her here with us again this morning on Off the Shelf. Welcome, welcome to Off the Shelf, Mama Akusa.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am so blessed to be here this morning. A special shout-out to your listening audience.
Oh, well, thank you, and I'm sure they appreciate that. It's so good to have you back. The first time I when the interview was over, and there's times we have guests on, and all the interviews have been fabulous, but there's some guests that come on, and I think, wow, I've got to have them back on again. And there's just so much. Some of the questions I'm going to ask you are going to be questions I asked before, only because the people mm-hmm. who tune into the show who didn't tune in the first time, but some of the questions or several of them will be ones that I did not ask before. And then to our listeners, Mama Akusa was on. It was several months ago that she was on Off the Shelf. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I wanted to ask you, you've been a wellness practitioner for 40 years, and I don't know if it's just that I'm operating in a different arena or if this is in fact happening, and I'd love to get your take on it. But I'm noticing I hear more people talk about spiritual things, and it's one thing to talk about it. I'm learning, Mama Akusa, it's one thing to talk about it and read about it. It's a little bit more challenging to actually put these things into practice. And I've heard other people say that, whether it's you reading the scriptures, it's easy to read it, preach it, hear it, go to church, listen to it. But when life gives you these challenges and you have to put it into practice, that's when right. we tend to not change. We just reading and listening, but not putting it into practice. But I'm hearing more, I don't know if it was the book The Secret, I don't know what it is, I'm hearing people talk more about the inner life. I'm hearing people talk more about we are responsible for our own lives and the things that happen into our lives based on how we feel and think. And I don't recall hearing it as much years ago. So I don't know. It could be that I'm just in a different arena. But I wanted to ask you, have you noticed that shift? Have you noticed
that? Well, actually, you are right on because, you know, we live in a universe, and a lot of us are so small in our view of the world. like a lot of people here in the United States talk about America, 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 as if the rest of the country does, or the rest of the universe doesn't exist.
Right.
And the way we treat the planet, the way we treat the environment, the way we treat each other, has a ripple effect. And what you'll find is that our ancestors and, you know, our mothers and our grandmothers, you know, have said prayers over and over again. Those prayers don't go unanswered. So what you'll find is as that ripple effect goes out into the universe, it comes back. It's like a boomerang. So if the prayer is for more peace and more harmony and less violence, what happens is, I guess you'd call it a duality. On one hand, you hear a lot of people talking about violence. They talk about all of the violence that's going on. They talk about the dysfunction. They talk about the disease states and all of the illnesses, et cetera. And there's a lot of attention paid on that. But then on the other hand, you have a lot of brothers and sisters, people around the world actually praying for a higher consciousness, praying for peace and meditating and actually going within. That begins to affect everyone. And the secret is actually not a secret. The most of the tenets that were commercialized and promoted have is a duplication of things that have come out years ago. Every 30 to 40 years, you're going to hear a new coming back to ourselves, a new version of recognizing the source, a new version of knowing that we're all connected. It comes in different ways. Each generation or each decade, you will see a different twist on the same story because it all begins and ends with one, and that's the infinite creator. So when we begin to recognize that and recognize our connection, when we, instead of talking about seeing the creator or seeing the universe in each other's face, we actually begin to do that. You know, people... we have a lot of folks who are doing scientifically science projects in relationship to spirit. Like they're doing reading auras and they're developing cameras to see the light. They're doing the things to make it real to them. But for a number of us, especially folks like myself, it's real because of life itself. It's real because, you know, when we go to sleep, our body is in a suspended state, very close to death. And when we wake up, we take a breath and we're alive again. That in itself is a miracle. You know, so.
Now, you know, you just. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You just made a point that it really struck me. You said that people are now making these cameras so they can see, we can see auras because we're energetic beings. But you know what? And some people have the gift to do that anyway. They can see it with a person or with their naked eye. But you know, it's so odd that people are looking for evidence of our of our source, and it's all around us. And it's amazing do these scientific stuff. The mountains, the trees. The horses, the dogs, the cats, us, the wind, the air.
You're
looking for evidence. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The ocean. You gotta be joking.
You gotta be joking.
But it's you know, and it is it's a blessing that every generation something comes up. I was actually as part of Unity Week in Bensalem. We visited different worship centers, and we went to a Buddhist temple. And the woman told me that there, I think she said every 1 to 2,000 years, I forget how long, a very insightful spiritual person like a Buddha or a Christ, she said, will come. And she said, who is it going to be next? They think it will be soon somebody else will come. And when you said that about every generation, I guess it's just to keep us reminded. But what before we move on, what would you say to someone? Because many of us who do this, Mama Kusa, we read, we listen, we go, we worship, we meditate, we pray, we don't practice. What do you say when we think just listening, just reading, just meditating, just praying, fasting is enough, but I'm not going to practice? Because really what we all supposed to be practicing, and Christ said it, is just love. He said every law hangs on it. So what do you say to that? Or what advice could you give somebody who does everything except practice?
They do everything except practice. actually, you know, what I suggest to my clients and folks who listen to my radio show, I talk about daily doing a checkup from the heart up, and that mm-hmm. a lot of times when we're going through these what I call rituals, we have to reexamine why we're doing the rituals and are mm-hmm. they working for us. You know, if we say, well, you know, I'm praying for whatever it is that they say they're praying for, are you actually doing what that prayer calls for? In other words, most of the scriptures, regardless to whether it's the Quran or the Bible or the Torah, they talk about pray, watch, and do. That it's a trinity. Mm. Pray, watch, and do. You can't just pray. Mm-hmm. You can't just sit in a lotus position and meditate. You have to be observant so that you can see, hear, feel that you are getting an answer. And that you have to then respond. That a lot of times we go through the motions and we get a response, but we ignore it. So we keep going around in a cycle. So I tell a lot of people, you know, the rituals are fine. You know, the meditating is fine. Because I've taught meditation classes for years, and I tell folks that it's not learning the technique that's going to help you. It's actually making it part of you, which means that you go into an automatic doing. An automatic, not actually doing, but being. You know, that it's, you know, it's interesting you said they don't put it into practice. It has to become part of who you are. You know, even if you're praying, there's a reason that you do that. It's based on belief or it's based on habit and what someone's told you to do. That a lot of times, a lot of the actions we have are based on family connections, our idea of what society expects from us, but has nothing to do with who we actually are and how we feel we connect to the greater universe.
Wow.
So now, check up from the heart up.
You're truly going to be a blessing to so many people listening to this, because we all are on the same path, on different parts of it, but on the same mm-hmm. one. And I think most people inherently want to do right and want to love and be loved, of course. But what do you say? You said when we do something, because we're in a relationship with our source, whether we believe it or not. So we pray, right. We think on something, we focus on something, positive or negative. Because it doesn't say ask and you shall receive, but you're only going to receive if you ask for positive things. We're in a relationship with our source. So, like you said, you have to observe what happened after I did this, mm-hmm. and then how am I going to respond mm-hmm. to it. So, mm-hmm. but a lot of us don't take that next step, which might be responding. Or, and Ilana, tell me her last
Ilana
name.
Ilana Van Zandt.
She said, yes, thank you. She said a lot of us, the thing is, and it's similar to what you just said, we know what to do, and we act like we don't know. She said, so one of her tenets is, and she said, you know what the step to this, act like you know. Because when we walk around like we don't know. But what happens, I want to ask you for our listeners, because I think there's a place where a lot of us get stuck. We've been hurt. Something's happened to us in our life, and we've experienced a great hurt. It could be around anything. Mm-hmm. And then we're a little timid. We don't want to go back. I mean, we're not foolish people. Who wants to go get shot again? Who wants to go? Mm-hmm. That's intelligent to me to say, okay, I went over there last time I got shot. I'm not going over there again. What do you say to people who they're getting some type of a response to something, a request they sent out to the source, but they're mm-hmm. I'm not going back over there. Oh, they don't like the response they're getting from the source, so they don't move and they stay stuck. What do you say? How can a person get to the place where they know this is right for me and it's not going to hurt me?
They have to acknowledge their fear, because a lot of times why we don't move is because we're fearful. Fearful of being rejected, fearful of being hurt, fearful of being embarrassed, just fear of the unknown. When we stay in that same position, I talk about people walking in the same area. You know that if you're if you have a carpet in your house and you let's say you have a carpet at the front door, and you have a lot of traffic in and out of the room, and people mm-hmm. walk in that same area. What generally happens to the carpet?
Yeah, it's going to get dirty and worn and wore down.
It gets dirty and worn out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wear and tear, right? So what generally happens when we get stuck? We get worn out in relationship to what we want for life.
Wow.
We don't get what it is that we want because we're in what's a rut. And you know that a rut turns into a ditch, and a ditch turns into what?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
What's a ditch akin to? A ditch is akin to a grave. So, you know, when people say, I want to pull myself up, you look at, well, what are the alternatives? If I don't take a chance, what is my alternative? Am I getting what it is that I would like to get? You know, Iyanla, which is real interesting, you brought her name up because her latest book about peace is that she had to admit after being knocked down that in her earlier years she was very arrogant and was not listening. She,
after she started her, are you talking about, this is after she started writing One Day My Soul Just Opened Up?
All of that. The latest book.
Oh, goodness.
The latest book. It's interesting because I've been in holistic health for over 40-some years. So when people come to you or when they come in your space, a lot of times it's because you have something similar. You have something to learn from them and something to teach you. Back and forth. You have something to teach them. They have something
yes,
to teach
I,
you.
Yes, yep. We're all teaching and learning, yes.
That's exactly yep. right. So years ago, I went to a seminar, and Iyanla was going to be doing something, and she had someone who did meditation. Well, and I teach meditation, so I was kind of excited, and the person who did whatever they were going to do actually went through the motions, but the energy wasn't there. And then Iyanla came on, and she talked about something, and one of the things that she said was to tell the sisters that they were not half of anything, they were 100%. And I was right on. Good. That's good information. Good information. But then someone stood up in the back, a brother stood up in the back and said he was looking for his better half. And Iyanla then said, oh, well, sisters, this brother's looking for his better half. We better turn around. You know, she didn't go back over what it is that she just said to reiterate. And most of the people in the audience didn't pick that
catch
up.
Catch it.
They didn't pick it up because they were into what I call idol worshiping. They were looking at the personality and not dealing with the energy. And what happens is because we're learning and exchanging with each other, she has to get positive energy just like she's putting out positive energy. And when you don't get that kind of energy, what happens is that all of that negativity and all of that wanting and longing begins to be, like I said, a boomerang. And you experience a lot of things that tell you where you actually are. You know, no one wants death in their family. No one wants, you know, to lose their home. They don't want any of those kinds of things. But we have to go deep within and figure out, well, then how do I move from this spot? How do I look at what I've been doing and change that? And she was able to be able to do that for herself and know that, wait a minute, I was not where I needed to be. Although I was further ahead than other people, I was not where I needed to be. And it takes courage to do that.
Yes, I was just getting ready to say that. Oh, my goodness, you pulled that word right outside. Right. Correct. It takes courage to be honest with yourself. We live with ourselves every day, and we lie to ourselves so often. We hide things from ourselves. It does take courage to be to why we do it, I don't know. It takes courage to be honest with yourself and just tell yourself the truth, as she says, one of her tenets is, we do know. A lot of times we do know, but we like to act like we don't know. We ask other people questions, what are you thinking? I don't know. You know.
Well, see, but that means we would have to take responsibility. See,
yes.
You know, as long as you say, I don't know, or, I'm in a fault, as long as you say that, then, or if you say, well, I'll try, all of that says, I'm not taking responsibility. It's on someone else. It's somebody else's fault. It's something else. Mm. It's anything outside of me. And the minute you take responsibility, the minute you say, you know what, I need to make a decision, then the responsibility is on you. You can't look out and say it's to anybody else. You can't even blame it on God.
Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord. And that's the issue because God has all power. So we're like, but this is a relationship. Yeah, God has all power, but this is a relationship. God is not a dictator, and one day we're going to get that. This is a relationship. We have something to do with this, and a lot. We have a lot to do with it. Yeah, God has all power. God gave us a lot of power, too, and this is a relationship. And one day when we start to realize this is a relationship, I think we're going to realize how we are helping to actually shape and mold our own lives because this is a relationship. I want to talk about your book, Emancipating Your Spirit, a conscious guidebook. It deals with so many things, and some of which we have already touched on, positive affirmations, which I've heard so much of, and how you can, I guess, train the subconscious mind to teach it through positive affirmations, meditation, which... And I want to ask you something about that. Soulful Reflections and Liberty. First of all, and this is a question I think I asked you before because this is such a challenge for so many of us. Our schedules are jammed full. I mean, we're going to work. We're running here and there. Some people running back and forth to a daycare, then a school, then to work, and then, oh, my goodness, home, cooking, cleaning, this, that, and the other, working in the community. How do you find time to meditate, number one? And it is so difficult to get the mind to be quiet. A person can get frustrated and just say, you know, I just can't do this. How do you find the time, and how do you make it easy to quiet the mind, a thing that never wants to be quiet?
Well, actually, it does want to be quiet. Yes. That's why we you know, when people say, I do my best thinking sitting on the toilet. You know how a lot of people say they do their best thinking sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, but your mind is still going. You know, now, when is your mind ever really nothing in your mind? Come on. It's like if you try to meditate and all of a sudden you start thinking about what you're going to do on Sunday. Or you're like, how come this stuff keeps happening? You can't get your mind just to go, just be quiet.
Right. It takes practice. It takes practice. You know that if you ever looked at a little baby and they want to eat, initially they have to figure out how to get the food from the plate to their mouth, not their cheek, not their forehead, but in their mouth. And then they have to figure out how to not just ingest it, but to chew, swallow, digest, have it absorbed and have it work. It takes practice. And most of us are, you know, because we're in instant society, we want all of these things to happen to us instantly. We have so many things distracting us. We have propaganda distracting us. We have demands on our job distracting us. We have toxic relationships distracting us. We have toxic food. All of those things are distractions. So it takes an extra effort to do that. However, if most people, and you find this with people who have debilitating dis-ease states, if tomorrow someone told folks that they had cancer, and they only had 6 months to live. However, they could change that if they learned to meditate. Wouldn't they do it instantly?
Yes. Yeah. Unless they were very stubborn.
But you don't have to get to that point. Mm. You don't have to get to the point where I have some debilitating or someone has to give you that pronunciation, because in actuality, a lot of the things we do actually set us up for those kinds of illnesses. And I think when I was on last time, I talked about the fact that it's not a matter of finding the time. It's a matter of incorporating life-giving activities in your life. And I talked about the fact that, you know, if you're either on a bus or in a car, that there are times when you have to sit still. You know, if you're on the bus and you're sitting, you know, and the bus stops and it lets people on, or there's a routine to certain things. You can, at that moment, include something in your routine. You can do deep breathing while you're on a bus or a train. If you're at a stop sign in the car, you can, you know, actually do, instead of allowing stress to take you out of here, you can say, you can do little games. You can say, at the next light, I'm going to take 2 deep breaths. And then the next light, I might take 3 deep breaths. You know, you can calm yourself from the time that you get in the car to when you get out of the car. You know, I don't suggest listening to meditative music, but I do say you can listen to your breath. When you come home at night, a lot of folks, you know, when they come home, they take their shoes off, they throw their keys or whatever, and they sit for a moment. In that moment, you can, you know, as you're like winding down for the day, you can put your hand on your heart. And it's probably racing because, you know, we're rushing around, and take a nice deep breath until it stops racing. You know, that the beat of your heart is rhythmic, and it allows you to either rev up or rev down. So incorporating it in your life is, we do a lot of little things that there's time in there. You know, like when we get up in the morning, we don't say, well, I'm too busy, I can't wash. We do what we do in order to further our life. You know, we may rush out and not eat breakfast because we don't think it's important. But we generally will take time to sit on the toilet. We'll generally take time to wash. We'll generally take time maybe to rinse out our mouth. We'll take time to do those things that we think is socially acceptable.
Right.
Hopefully we do. Well, that's the same thing.
But you make a good point.
Yeah.
Wow, you know what, you are someone who, one of the things you do, you have a very peaceful spirit, but you also
you
help people to see things that are right there that they just don't see. I see that about you. You help people to see things that are right there that they just don't see. You also talk about soulful reflections in emancipating your spirit. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by soulful reflections?
Well, you know, a lot of times we, like you said before, we get stuck. And we say, well, I don't know what's going on, and I'm doing this right, and I'm doing that right, and I'm still not able to move. We have things that we hold on to that we think we've forgotten about. And reflection allows you to go within and do things like forgiveness work. Most people need to do forgiveness work. That we don't do.
Mm.
We say someone hurt us and, oh, well, I forgot about it, and, you know, it doesn't bother me anymore. And the minute you either see that person or you start talking about something or you see something, you go right back to that incident. That means that you never got rid of it. And it's festering in your body. So those are like the little hidden things that, those are the little hidden things that keep us from moving and really enjoying the kind of life that we were born to enjoy. We participate in activities that we're not real happy to participate in. And then we don't know why later on we have a sore throat or later on we have aches and pains, because we absorb that energy. We absorb those emotions and they sit somewhere. So the reflection is to, as I said, every day do a checkup from the heart up, that if you're around people who really aggravate you, you have to begin to say, which is more important, being here around these people who are aggravating me or my health? You know, like the folks who do prayer or make salat or whatever, you know, they talk about the blessings they get from the infinite creator, yet they abuse and disregard those blessings. And one of the blessings is your beautiful mind and body.
Yes.
We don't put the right food in it. We allow garbage, you know, like there may have been a scandal on the television. And we will repeat that over and over and over again, not even having all the information. Then we wonder why there's negativity. Well, we keep repeating the same stuff over and over again. Instead of talking about wellness, instead of talking about the joy in the little children, instead of talking about the accomplishments that are actually going on in the world, you would never know that there were positive people and positive things happening if you watched the news. They throw in a one feel-good story. But if it's an hour of news, 55 minutes of it is of negativity. And you can change channels. If you're doing broadcast news, you can go from one channel to the next. They report the same news as if the universe was that small. However, there are more good things happening in the world than there are negative. But because that's all we hear and see, and we don't seek it out, we incorporate that in our being. That's why the universe and people are crying out for a more spiritual connection. It's just like we have a lot of high-tech gadgets, things that keep us from each other. We have cell phones and Blackberries and iPods and, you know, all of those things. And all of those are things that we do individually away from each other, when in actuality we get energy from each other. And that face-to-face high touch, the more high tech you go, the more there is a desire for high touch. That's why you'll see more of that. And when I talk about the reflection, these are some of the things that we say, well, wait a minute. You know, that when you, the question you led with is a reflection. It's like, well, wait a minute. Why do I hear more about, oh, you can pray and get well? A foreign thought. But it's not, you know. So forgiveness work. And then self-talk is another part of reflection. We spend more time, if you think about it, maybe not you, but some of your friends or people you know, if they evaluate, let's say, 10 statements that they make about themselves within a week. I'm not a gambling woman, but I would bet you at least 8 of them were negative. Like, oh, man, what were you thinking about? Oh, that was stupid. Oh, what was on my mind? Oh, I can't
wow.
do that. And then maybe, girl, go
oh,
on.
Oh, my
got
goodness.
That going. You know what I mean? We get more positive response from other folks than we do from our own self.
Wow.
Self-talk. So we're with ourselves more than we are anyone else, so we're telling ourselves negative thoughts all the time. Or not all the time, but a large majority of the time, what are we doing in terms of programming ourselves? Now, I'm not even talking about the news and, you know, other people. I'm talking about the self-talk.
Yeah. my goodness.
So that's
and
part
when you
of
think you,
reflection.
When you and I thank you so much for what you shared. Thank you. When you said at the start of the show that we're all, everything is connected, I hope that listeners see and hear that if each of us does our part, just on ourselves, loving ourselves and loving everything we come in contact with, or every person we come in contact with, doesn't mean that some people, their energy is so negative, you back away from them, but then you still love. We can see that if we all do our part, we'll change this whole universe. It's a song
that's
Marvin
exactly
Gaye wrote.
Right.
He said that if we were to love, we would change the whole foundation. Earth's foundation.
Yes.
If we would all do our part, but we get injured, and injuries do hurt for people who have been injured, and I would imagine everybody in some way has been, whether it was intentional or unintentional. You can say I forgive, and you can truly mean I forgive. But it doesn't mean you have forgiven. Like you said, something comes up and you feel this emotion in you again, and you know I'm still not over this. What are 1 to 3 tips you would give to someone? Because unforgiveness does block the flow of love coming through us. What 1 to 3 things would you give to somebody that you say, they've said I forgive, they've prayed, they've maybe written a letter and said I've forgiven? What 3 things can they do to really get free of something and truly forgive an injury that they feel they perceive that they have experienced?
Okay. First, they have to acknowledge that there was some type of hurt or pain. Because in my book, I actually go through some exercises. One of them is that you write a list of all the people that you've hurt, people you said things about, things that you have done. You know, people don't even have to know what you've done, but some negative thoughts you had about some people was, you know, all the stuff that you've done that you need to forgive yourself for. Then you can write down the people, a list of the people you feel have injured you in however way that they've injured you, whether it's gravely or slightly, whatever that is, and then one by one you go through it. Now, if, you know, you can't write it down, one of the things that I tell folks to do is that if you are able to go to like a second floor or the roof of something, or go up in a building that you have some mm-hmm. some control of, you get a pot of dirt mm-hmm. and you take it to the second floor. You open up the window of the second floor, and you write whatever the person's name is or whatever, and you stick it in the dirt, and you drop it down out of the window, the pot. The pot will break, the dirt will scatter. You actually do something that actually you release it. Another thing that you can do is you can take a red crayon or lipstick or whatever, and you write the person's name on a piece of toilet paper. You write the name on a piece of toilet paper, and you put it in the toilet, and you flush the toilet, and you actually watch it disintegrate. You release it. You have to go through, if not mentally, you have to go through physically releasing something. And you would be surprised how you feel. The pot works real well because you see that dropping and disintegrating.
Yeah.
The red lipstick or the red crayon on the tissue, when you see it dissolving, you know, when you say, I forgive you, I release, I forgive you, I release myself, I forgive you, I release myself, it allows you to actually begin to reprogram yourself.
Wow.
You know,
oh, my goodness.
One of the things that I like doing, I'm a neuro-linguistic psychotherapist, and one of the things mm-hmm. that I enjoy working with clients is that I don't really have to know what it is that's causing their pain. Just that the mm-hmm. person needs to know. And that when you go through mm-hmm. different motions, you allow yourself, because your body and your spirit wants to be free. It wants to be, no one was born evil. No one was mm-hmm. born, oh, I'm destined to be in pain. You might have lessons you need to learn. But we're not born destined to be in pain. And if we sit quietly mm-hmm. and allow our innate joy to happen, given one little opening, it just grows. You know, like we said, we can put our foot in the door, we can open it up.
Yes.
You know, I say it like it's light. I know that it's work, and I know that for mm-hmm. A number of people it can be challenging because there are tears that are stored up. A lot of the illnesses that we have or debilitating conditions, you can trace it back to our spiritual dysfunction, and you can trace it back to emotional upsetment. So it's kind of critical that we, you know, actually do that checkup from the heart up, that we actually go through practicing forgiveness, not intellectually. You got to get out your head. I mean, I spent many, many years in my head. You know, I was trained as a nurse, and, you know, I've taken all of these courses, and I have a doctorate in divinity, so I know all of the theory. But the theory is not what helps you to move. What helps you to move is actually incorporating the information so it becomes your own. Which we have many examples of people who you actually see their light. You see that, wait a minute, there's something different. They walk in with some pep in their step. You know, you see something different. They're much lighter. So we can, you know, actually decide to, you know, they say put my burdens down. We can actually decide to do that.
Which goes back to, you know, you said in theory, I think a lot of times we think that is a first step to begin to have some awareness. That is a first step. Mm-hmm. But we've got to get to the point where you say incorporate it into our lives, or you have to start practicing it. And the universe will give you plenty of opportunities to practice out what you are now studying.
Trust me. People think I'm being tested.
Right.
You are getting a chance to practice and grow stronger as something that you are now, you know, learning. You're going to get, the universe is wonderful, it's beautiful, it's going to give you lots of chances. If you're studying forgiveness, you're going to get lots of opportunities to practice that. Whatever you do it, till you get really good at it, and you'll become a great teacher. So that it really is, and you'll be able to bless others as you continue to be blessed yourself. We are talking with Mama Akusa. For those who might have just joined, we're more than halfway through the show, and we're talking about her book right now, Emancipating Your Spirit
a conscious guidebook. As you listen to what she is sharing, as you listen to the truth she's sharing, that can help to open up something in your life or set you free from something, I do encourage you to get her book, Emancipating Your Spirit, a Conscious Guidebook. This is not a type of book that you buy and you say, well, let me go support the author. You can do it from that angle, but it's more, let me support myself, the universe.
Right.
There's something in here that might set me free. So this is, and one thing that you said I do want to reiterate is that to tell people that the theory, the becoming aware of something is just the first step. You just to keep reading self-help books, and that is alone not enough. Just to continue to go to one seminar after another, that alone is not enough. Or just to meditate or pray and fast, or go to a worship center, be it a church or a synagogue, that is not enough. You have to begin to practice it. Or as Mama Kusa says, incorporate in your life. And the universe is going to give you chances to do that. If you keep running away from those opportunities and respond to the same stimuli the same way, but then continue to keep reading, you're not going to take that second step. That first step, you will only be taking that first step over and over. I don't care if you read a million books. You still will have only taken the first step, because all you're doing is the awareness, the theory. You've got to take the second step and start to put it into practice. And one thing you said about forgiveness, you know, I used to think, well, okay, God, let me pray. You see the miracles that Christ did in the Bible, and you think, okay, why isn't this just happened? Why is this taking so long? And then people get frustrated because they think something's wrong. This should just have been done like, pow, snap your fingers. This is a process, I have found. This is a process, and it might take time, so don't give up on yourself if you keep doing these exercises. And if one thing doesn't particularly work for you, then try something else. But don't give up on yourself. What do readers tell you, Mama Kusa? Readers who have read Emancipating Your Spirit, a Conscious Guidebook, they've learned about the positive affirmations and have been blessed from doing so, and meditation and so forth for reflections and liberty and the other items that you cover in the book. What do they come back and say to you, Mama Kusa? This is what I got out of Emancipating Your Spirit. What do readers tell you are some of the benefits and blessings they get from reading the book?
Well, a few folks, I actually have a survey that I did around the 9 vital keys. I surveyed about 2,000 women over a 5-year period, and I put down some of the responses from that in the book, which talk about the fact that out of the seminars that I've done and the things that are in the book, which is actually some of the things that are in the book, what people have done is they've gone back and thought about it and decide to make a you know, concerted effort to do little by little to incorporate the things in their life. And what I've gotten recently in relationship to the book is that some people are actually taking an affirmation day by day or week by week and use it, and they can see a change. I've had some folks who recently I had a sister who was molested. I say raped because molested is a polite word. And she hadn't told anybody in her family. And when she read and did the exercises of forgiveness, it gave her the courage to talk about it with her family. And she got much more support because people didn't know why she was sort of standoffish when she went to family events, because she'd been holding that for about 20 years. So that's
a
big
relative
thing.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it was a relative. And you go to the functions and the relatives are there, and you haven't told anybody, and so you're mad at everybody. Being able to do the forgiveness and to do the confronting and then looking how it has affected your life was something she was able to do because she could do this and thing. And then in the book I also have a thing about the essence of communication.
Oh, bless you, bless you. Oh, my goodness, Mama Kusa. Oh, no, I don't take that lightly. Bless you for, oh, my gosh, did you help set that woman free? Oh, Lord.
And her family was able.
Oh, my goodness.
Her family was able to talk about that and just the way they didn't support each other.
Wow.
So that was a biggie for me because that's the, we don't have to have the same experiences. with that other people have, but we do need to be compassionate and know that there are keys to help people to move past where they're stuck or to move past the injuries that they've felt. We've had people who were diabetic and accepted, you know, the doctor's, you know, pronunciation that, you know, they would be this their entire life. And I have a nutritional tidbit question and answer in the book. And just, you know, just looking at some of the information, the person started getting colon irrigations and started really being honest about what they were eating and started mm-hmm. exercising. And they've been able to go from having to take insulin twice a day down to just taking the oral medication, and they're working on getting rid of that. So that's a live
wow.
example of people. It's
wow.
it's not a book that you read and okay, I've read the book. It's a book to use,
right.
like a little instruction. It's a guidebook. Say, well, let me look at this piece. I have a piece in here about a communication with the families, and that was another thing in terms of parenting, because we're going to be doing a conscious and soulful parenting series to back up the things that are in the book. And you'd be surprised when folks actually sit down and talk to each other how far away they are in terms of what they see in terms of the world. You know, you may have people in the same house who you think we're all on the same page because we live together. And when you start asking
right.
questions about different things, you find out there's some big gaps.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
wonder
but you
why
know, that's okay.
Here.
That's okay because we don't all have to think alike.
No, we don't
right?
have to think
that's
alike.
Okay.
We need to know what the other people are thinking as opposed to thinking they're all thinking the same way I think.
Exactly,
you know what I mean? We need
then
to,
there's a block. I see what you're saying. Right, yes, and there's blockages
right.
in the
communication. You need to be aware of
yes.
other people's feelings
mm-hmm.
and their perspectives so that we can gain respect for what they're thinking. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
if we just disregard what other people are thinking because they're not thinking the same way we are, we block our connection. You know, so
yes.
being aware of the different thoughts that are in the house, being aware of the different perspectives helps you to grow. You know, it's like, oh, I never looked at
yeah.
it like that. Oh, I didn't
yes.
know you thought like that. Oh, I didn't. You know, those
yes.
kinds of things
yes.
need to happen. You know, so.
Rather than calling people who think differently from us crazy, I think
yeah,
it
right.
does pay to we don't own it all. So, you know,
right.
it's so much when we leave, so much is going to be here when we leave. So we
mm-hmm.
have to get off this thought that what we believe is just all the truth there is. And to
right.
we just bless ourselves when we do that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we just bless ourselves when we do that. Are these seminars, are they going to be on the internet, Mama Kusa, where off-the-shelf listeners can sign up to participate in these? Because I think this is something everybody could take advantage of. Or are these workshops going to be, you're going to have them live in person where somebody has to come to a physical location to attend?
In May, we're going to be initiating our webinars. March and April, we have a few live seminars that are happening here in the Philadelphia area. But May, we're going
okay.
to do a couple of webinars, which I'm real excited about. It's taken a while to get the right technology that allows people. I wanted it interactive, so it's taken a while to get that together. And I'm kind of excited about that. And we're also going to start putting some of the DVDs of the live seminars online so people can actually get them and experience them. And they're able to call and if they have any questions or get some of the handouts that we actually pass out and, you know, make it part of what they're doing.
How can we find out?
Different.
Yes. How can we find out when the webinars are? Please shoot me an email when you get your list of webinars.
Okay.
The dates,
okay.
the times, and I'll announce it here
mm-hmm.
off the shelf. But how can
mm-hmm.
other people who might not listen maybe when I announce that, how can they find out the date and the time for the webinars? Because I think it's wonderful that you're doing that. That means anybody anywhere
mm-hmm.
can
right.
tune in. Where would you post the
they
dates
can
and times for these?
Right. You're right. They can actually go to emancipatingyourspirit.com www.emancipatingyourspirit.com, and there's a calendar of events, and there will also be a sign up for the webinars there. www.bewellrelax has an overall calendar, so there's like two different places they can go to, you know, get the information, and they can always call the office, and you know, we're glad to talk to anybody.
Okay, so emancipating your spirit .com or bewell.com, bewell.com. Either one of those,
Bewell
they have
relax.
Calendar of events. Oh, bewellrelaxed. Mm-hmm. Bewellrelaxed. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you told me that. Bewellrelaxed.com or emancipating your spirit, CIPATINGYOUR spirit, SPIRIT.com. Emancipating your spirit.
Good.
Or bewellrelaxed. Or bewellrelaxed.com. And I'm definitely going to be looking out for it. Please remember to shoot us an email when you get your schedule out so we can announce it here at Off the Shelf. Oh, my goodness, we have just blown through this interview. We only got 9 minutes left. I do want to take the time
about
your other two books. Yes, We Surrender. Could you tell our listeners here, I could talk about emancipating your spirit for a very long time. Could you tell our listeners here about We Surrender, what the book is about, and what inspired you to write it?
Okay, We Surrender is a collection of inspirational poems and lyrical verse, and it is actually a book that my daughter Sakina Sabri and I put together. It was actually my first book that was published, and she was away in graduate school at Hampton, and I had done a retreat where I talked about stress management and forgiveness and rolled down a hill and surrendered to my energy. And when I came home, I wrote about 38 different poems. When she came on her break, she had some similar poems, and we put them together, and We Surrender was born. Because we both surrendered to learning new information. We surrendered to our higher self. So we enjoyed that. We actually ran around the country doing spoken word. And to my knowledge, we're the only mother and daughter that I know that actually have a book published and did spoken word together.
Now, did you purposely roll down a hill, or did you accidentally fall and roll down a hill?
No,
and all these
no. I was one of the oldest people on a Vision Quest retreat. And there were some younger folks. We were at the Dolly Sod, one of the highest mountains in West Virginia. And I was looking at how I was going to get down this mountain. And some of the younger people just laid on the ground and started rolling, but they rolled in a ditch and or they hit their heads on rocks and they got up. I gave my glasses to my husband and laid on the ground and just started rolling down the mountainside. I rolled in a ditch, out of a ditch. I rolled three-quarters of the mountain down without being injured and just stopped naturally. And people were amazed.
Wow.
They were amazed.
Oh, my goodness.
I was amazed. I was amazed because it was a matter of surrendering. You got rid of your fear. You just sort of let it flow. And I stopped and wasn't injured, and people were just stunned. And when I came home, you know, Spirit said,
"We're talking
you've
a mountain here.
More work to do." That's why when people look at the book, the pictures, there's pictures in the book, and the cover is actually from the retreat. And the energy is in it. I've sent the book to a number of people who've had deaths in their family, and it was something to help them to go back and remember the joys. It was something that helped them to move to another point. It was something that inspired other people. There's a couple of poems, two in particular, my daughter wrote as a reflection of me, and I wrote a poem as a reflection of my mother. So it was a very interesting combination of poems and lyrical verse that I'm very proud to have done with her.
Oh my goodness! I'm having to do what I did last time. I'm having to rush, but
I want you now to talk about hair pieces. Is hair piece, now I hear the title Hair Pieces. I think about the movie Chris Rock made. I forget the title of the book, but it's about black women and black women issues with our natural hair. Is that what the book is about, accepting your natural hair? Or when I hear the title, that's what I think of.
Hair Pieces, the anthology, is actually interviews, short stories, poems, and prose, and hair care tips. And it actually is more about our history and our personal experiences in relationship to our self-identity and our hair, the politics of hair. So it's got a lot of really nice pieces that people can relate to, and it's something that people need to have in their homes because it talks about what we've gone through. It's funny and it's informative, and it actually was a commemorative piece to the annual International Locke Conference, which we've done over the last Natural Hair, Holistic Health, and Beauty Expo, which we've done for 17 years. And we got about 28 different poets and writers from around the country to contribute.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Before we wrap up the interview, I have to ask you, please tell our off-the-shelf listeners, where can they get copies of your books, like two or three or more other places that off-the-shelf listeners can go to get a copy of your books, Mama Akusa, and the books that you will be looking for are Emancipating Your Spirit, which we talked about quite a bit today, and this is a guidebook that truly, I mean, can help set you free. Hair Pieces, which we just talked about, which deals with natural hair and accepting, I think it deals with also just accepting ourselves, accepting our natural hair instead of always trying to change ourselves. And We Surrender, where she just told us, Mama Kusa, that she rolled down, my goodness, a mountain. Most of us are just scared to walk down one, let alone lay down and just grab bedroom to your spouse and say, hey, I'm rolling down this mountain.
That's right.
Where can our listeners get copies of these wonderful books and empowering books, Mama?
You can get them from ujimapress.com, which is UJIMA Press, PRESSRC.com. You can get them from Amazon.com. You can get them from local bookstores. You can also go to Emancipating Your Spirit. They're available through that website as well.
Okay. So Emancipating Your Spirit, Ujima, I think you said, and Amazon. And
Ujima.
You can also go... Ujima. You can also go to your local bookseller, and if you don't get on the shelf, just ask them that you want to order
ask
a copy
for it. That's
by Mama.
That's exactly
title
right.
The book, and you want to get a copy by Mama Kusa. They will go work with their distributors, and they will get a copy for it. What are you working on? Any new material? And I hope you say, absolutely. I know you're working on your workshops, but are you working on any new books? And if so, can you let us know what you're working on and when it'll be on the market?
I actually have two books in the harbor. I have one that will be out this year, and it's In Her Own Voice, and it's a book related to Dr. Maddie L. Humphrey. She was one of my mentors, and it has articles and position papers and different things that she wrote from 68 to the day she died, which was 2001. That's a book that I promised that I would do, and that's coming out. I have another book that, talking about how to care for our elders. And in our community, caring for our elders is a little bit different than general society. And what's happening is that my particular generation is moving towards being elders, and we have younger generations that don't know what to do in relationship to that. That the sandwich generation of people who are taking care of their elderly parents and still raising their children. And if we don't sort of let folks know what we need to do with that, we run into problems. So I've been doing research and surveys and have put that together, and that probably won't be out till next year because I still have some more information that I'm collecting. We're kind of excited about that. So
I think that
those
book is necessary. I got to tell you that, yes.
When Mama Kusa, are these books going to be out?
Well, the in her own voice is going to be out later this year. It'll probably be out in the spring, and How to Care for Your Elders will be out the beginning of next year.
So we have two things in store for us. Oh my goodness! So we have a book coming out this year in her own voice, and then How to Care for Our Elders, which I think so many people, oh my goodness, they're taking their grandkids and they living with them and they taking care of their parents and themselves and they just didn't get a break in there nowhere.
And we have a younger generation that doesn't necessarily know what that's about. As a matter of fact, we didn't necessarily know what this was about, because as you see your parents doing it, you never think, oh, well, I'm going to have to do that with my parents. You know, we just never really prepared for it when it happens. And we need, other than what services to go to, we need to know in terms of the communications and miscommunications with our siblings and how you take care of the elders without disrespecting them, and just a number of different issues that I think that we definitely need, and I want to pass that on. So it's been germinating for a minute, but, you know, Emancipate Your Spirit, it took me 10 years to actually manifest it, because I actually started before we did We Surrender. And I put it down, picked it up, put it down, picked it up. And Spirit said, you have to get it out because people are in need of the information and experiences that you've had. So a lot of these are not things that are coming from me. They're things that are coming through me that I'm duty-bound to do. And I'm excited about it.
Yes, and you are, and so are we. We are at the end of today's show, which has just blown by again. We have been here with a wonderful, amazing woman, Mama Kusa. She's the author of Emancipating Your Spirit, a Conscious Guidebook, which I highly encourage you to go out and get. We Surrender and Hair Pieces. She's online at emancipatingyourspirit.com and bewellrelax.com. You can get a copy of her books at Amazon. You can also ask your local bookseller for a copy, and you can get a copy of her books at emancipatingyourspirit.com. Look for her new book, In Her Own Voice, this spring or this summer, and early next year, look for How to Care for Our Elders, which so many of us will benefit from. Go to her websites, again, emancipatingyourspirit.com and bewellrelax.com, to check out her calendar of events, because she's going to be offering webinars on family communication, something we can all benefit from, because we all have families, and those are going to be launching in May. Before I close, I also want to let our listeners know about a author showcase Black History Month event, which is Saturday, February the 26th. I just learned about it a couple of days ago. This is in Trenton, New Jersey, for listeners who are there, from 12 noon to 3, and this is going to be at Shiloh Baptist Church. Shiloh Baptist Church, so you can contact the church. I don't think there's a fee for authors to appear here. Again, it's 12 to 3 next Saturday, and in Trenton, New Jersey. Shiloh Baptist is at 340 Rev S. Howard Woodson Jr. Way. So you can just contact the church if you want to go and attend and meet the authors and have discussions with them and get an autographed copy of a book at Shiloh Baptist Church, Trenton, New Jersey, 12 to 3. Or if you're an author and you're interested in appearing, I wanted to let you guys know about that. And I myself do plan to be there. But before we close, I want to thank Mama Kusa. I want to thank all of you, our listeners here at Off the Shelf. Again, please support her, the author of Emancipating Your Spirit, A Conscious Guidebook, Hair Pieces, and We Surrender, and In Her Own Voice, and How to Care for Our Elders. Look for her webinars in May. And I want to give you her websites again, emancipatingyourspirit.com and bewellrelax.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mama Kusa. Thank you to all our listeners.
Thank you.
Remember, you are so valued, so truly blessed. Please come back next Saturday at 11. We'll bring you another phenomenal guest who's just going to bless your spirit. And in the meantime, go out and create a fabulous day for yourself. Mama Kusa, I'll shoot you an email.
Yes.
And bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.